I got to get through this introduction first. Ben is raring to go. In fact, he's been raring to go ever since I met him. See that way all the time, Jennifer? Yeah, he's no reverse, just one gear, you know, fast. That's good. He has a heart for the Lord. And I learned about Ben's passion for the Lord through Brother Nathan when he was here and introduced me to Ben. And he's been with us a couple of times and at men's retreats as well. And he'll stir your heart for the Lord. Now, Sunday school hour was really good. He preached on the need for getting our will aligned with God's will and not desiring our own will, but desiring the will of God. And one of the avenues that you can do that is just to lay yourself out flat, and that is through prayer and fasting. And so the Bible does command not when, not if we fast, but when we do. And I guess in the times of my life when I really got serious about knowing if it was God's will for something, I fasted and I prayed. And this can apply to people we desire to be saved. I know some of you have unsaved loved ones, family, might be a husband or a wife or children, cousins, people in the workplace who don't know the Lord as their Savior, and they're going as hard, as fast as they can toward hell. Isn't that true? Yeah. And the world's helping them all along the way. And so that might be one of the things that God is directing and working in my heart to actually spend some time for an individual specifically, skipping a meal and spending the time in prayer for that one individual that they might be saved. A special work of the Spirit. Remember, James, the half-brother of Jesus Christ, did not believe until after the resurrection of Christ. There's some hard knocks out there, amen? But Jesus manifests himself by his Spirit in the life of the believer. So let's ask Christ to do a work in our lives today. Father, we again thank you for our guest today, our guest speaker. And we pray, Lord, you would continue to work through him by your Spirit. Bring to us that which will draw us closer to Christ. And if anyone here doesn't know Christ as their Savior, may they believe upon him today. Lord, make us more like yourself. And specifically apply the word by your Spirit to what we need to be more like Jesus Christ and glorify him. In these days of revival, we pray, Lord, you would smile upon us by your grace and work in our hearts to change us to be more like Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter number 13. Matthew 13, we'll begin reading. Verse number 1. Bible says, Matthew chapter 13, verse number 1. Same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. When he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Skip over with me, if you would, to verse number 18, the interpretation of this parable that Jesus gives. It says, Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and right away with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word of God, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. Father, I thank you this morning for your glorious teaching. I thank you for the simplicity of your teaching, God. And yet, Lord, it is for kings to unveil the mysteries of the Word of God. And I praise you for that, Father. And God, you said, he that believeth that out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Father, I come to you now and my Abba Father. And I receive that, God. And I thank you for that. I thank you for what you're going to do. Oh, God, would you move? May the Word of God have free course in each heart and each life here today. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. As we come to Matthew chapter 13, Jesus Christ is teaching people about God and about the ways of God using parables. A parable is an earthly story teaching a spiritual truth. In verses 3 through 8 here, he uses common items such as a farmer. People understood that fine. He talks about birds, about stony soil, crop failure, the heat of the sun. Talks about weeds and briars and fruit, all things that people understand just fine. But he uses these things to teach spiritual truth about God and about heaven, about spiritual things, things that we would not understand unless Jesus Christ himself or God himself would tell us that. And as we analyze God's word this morning, I plead with you, would you allow God to analyze you? Not the preacher, not his illustrations, not his opinions. No, no, no. What God through his word speaks to you about this morning. Oh, dear friends, he has a message for each one in the room this morning. We'll see four different kinds of people this morning. And we'll see also in these people four different reactions or responses to the word of God. Look at verses 3 and 4. It says here, "And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up." Jesus Christ is speaking here of an individual. May I say, the way a man responds or receives or reacts to the word of God. This is a person that has heard the gospel, has heard the word of God. Maybe at a preaching service at a church. Maybe from a friend, maybe from a relative. Maybe from a short devotional somewhere. And for whatever reason, this individual did not understand it, nor did not care to understand it. And verse 19 says, "Then cometh the wicked one," of course that's Satan, "and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart." Folks, I remember preaching in a church up north. I was preaching that night on the Great White Throne Judgment, about how all history will be fleshed out, so to speak, before the great white throne, and the wicked dead, those that died without Jesus Christ, would stand before God and be judged according to their works, according to their sins, and would be cast into the lake of fire. And I remember it so clearly that night, and I know my wife does too, as I preached the word of God about three rows back, there was a lady there. Now, this lady was a very wealthy woman. She had married a professional baseball player, and of course, they had been divorced and everything, and somebody had invited her to the meeting. So she came to the meeting that night, and every time that I would mention hell or God punishing sin, she would chuckle. Every time. And so I remember I preached that night and gave the invitation, and we all went out, and there was two doors in that church, one on that side and one on this side, you know, and I was shaking hands at one side, and this lady comes out. And she said to the pastor, and I couldn't help it, folks, I know I was supposed to be talking to everybody there, but I was wondering what in the world she was going to say, because there was a circus going on while I was preaching. And she said this, she says, "Pastor, thank you so much for having me tonight, and I appreciate that and all the kind people here." She said, "But I'll tell you one thing, Pastor," and she turned her eyes toward me and she said these words. She says, "I didn't believe one word that preacher said tonight." "Then cometh the wicked one, catcheth away the good seed of the word of God." 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 and 4. "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world," that's Satan, "in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds," not the eyes, "the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them." She did not believe God's record. Do you know what the single most insulting an absolute hideous sin to God is? You say it's murder. It's adultery. Lying, stealing. Oh, no. No. All those things, God in His mercy forgives those that commit those. But dear friends, may I not shove those things under the rug, though? Because if you've ever said, "Oh, my," and you've put God's high and holy name in there, that's enough sin to send you to the devil's hell forever and ever. In fact, the Bible says in Psalm 51 and verse 5, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." We're born sinners. It doesn't matter what the modern day psychologist said, dear friend. It matters what God's book said. We're born sinners. It's in our hearts. And every person in this room, including this preacher this morning, deserves to go to hell. Amen. Right. We deserve it. Because we're sinners. Did you ever get so mad you just wanted to punch somebody right in the face? Listen, Jesus calls that a murderous heart. Felt like that too. At times. But it's murder in heart. And it deserves God's wrath and God's fury. Because He's holy. God is holy and He hates sin. You see, we deserve hell. But God says, in Isaiah 1 and verse 18, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be white as wool." That's an invitation. Why do we give invitations? Because they're in the Bible. Amen. Isaiah 53 and verse 3 says, "He is despised." That's speaking of Jesus Christ. "He's despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised, and we esteemed Him not. Surely He had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we were healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord," that's God the Father, don't miss it now, "that's God the Father, laid on Him," that's Jesus Christ, "the iniquity of us all. And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Jesus Christ paid it all. But dear friends, I'm going to say something this morning that many times the Protestant churches around won't tell you. It's a choice. It's a choice. You must receive him personally, intimately. Because Jesus Christ, he did pay for those sins. Your sin was placed upon him at the cross. In fact, the Bible says he became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. All the sin of the entire world. I've even been reading much about even the Holocaust and all the horrors of that thing. Yes, even that sin placed upon Jesus Christ. And all the wrath and anger and fury of a holy God is poured upon his son that day on Calvary's tree. And Jesus Christ took it all. And then those glorious words of the Savior. As he gives up the ghost, he said, "It is finished." Amen. He paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. Jesus Christ washed it white as snow. I ask you this morning, do you know that you know that you belong to Jesus Christ? You say, you know, I'm not so sure, preacher, if I know, if I do. You know, these things, the Bible says, these things have been written unto you that ye may know that ye have eternal life. Folks, when I got married, I knew it. And when you enter into a glorious relationship with Jesus Christ, make no mistake about it, you know you did it. Do you have that assurance? This morning, yes, may I say, the single most insulting sin to God is the sin of unbelief. A person in this life will believe God's record or burn in hell for eternity. I ask you this morning, where will you be 10,000 years from this morning? You'll be somewhere. Either with Jesus Christ, with the Lord, or in hell. Hell's a horrible place to torment, torture. Horrible place. You read about that Holocaust, as I've been reading of late. How could it be any worse? There is a worse place. It's hell. It's a place of regrets. It's broken dreams, broken lives. There's a preacher in hell, and his name is Conscience. And he sets up his pulpit, and he preaches for thousands of years to tell you every time you could have trusted Jesus Christ. Oh, dear friend, don't walk out of the building this morning without knowing him. Oh, don't do it. Think of it. Think of it. Back in Genesis, God sent a man named Noah. What did the world do with Noah's message? They rejected it. Noah preached for 120 years, a preacher of righteousness. God sent a man. They rejected it. God sent a man named Moses. The people complained and rebelled against Moses and against God. God didn't stop at Moses, did he? What about Joshua and the judges to deliver his people? Still, they rejected God. God sent the prophets. People imprisoned them, tortured them, stoned them, killed them. We come to the Gospels, God sends a man, a voice crying in the wilderness by the name of John the Baptist, beheaded. We see through the history of mankind the rebellion and wickedness of man right through. But you know what else we see? A constant love and compassion of the God of the universe to reach mankind. Because aren't you glad this morning that God didn't stop at Noah or Moses or Joshua, or the prophets, or John the Baptist? No, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should have everlasting life. No, God gives his all to mankind. To hell-deserving sinners, God says, come to me. Come to me. I want you to think of it. The Bible says in Proverbs, wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse. And the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words. Can you see God's man standing in the gates of the city of Jerusalem saying, come to God, preaching God's word? And they say, no. And an individual in this church age says, no, thank you. I don't want your salvation. I don't want you. I don't believe your record. That's no different than spitting on the Son of God's face, dear friend. Oh, please, may we see it as God sees it and take it as He takes it. Well, I'm okay. I'll settle it later. Oh, dear friend, I would beg you this morning, come to Him. Come to Him. Oh, those that reject God in this life and God's Son and live as they please, dear friend, God says, no, I'm not the liar. And on that judgment day, He'll say, you're the liar. To the pit. Oh, please, dear friend. The invitation's open. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. Jesus said, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Hebrews 11 and verse 6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Ezekiel 33 and verse 11, saying to them, as I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye and live, O house of Israel. Why, no, he said, why will ye die, O house of Israel? Oh, dear friends, God hasn't had pleasure in somebody dying and going to hell. He made a way. We're talking about this seed by the wayside. The seed by the wayside. Number two this morning, I want you to see the seed on stony places. Verses 5 and 6 says this, some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. This is an individual that receives the word of God happily. Or may I use this terminology, dear friends, says a prayer. Says a prayer. I've heard people say, hey, did you say the prayer? Well, then you're saved. It's all working out. Is that true this morning? The prayer doesn't save you. Jesus saves you. Prayer is just a means. It's just crying out. He said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So Jesus Christ, we sang it to this morning, glory, Jesus saves. Not prayer, but prayer is how that's our access to Him. Pray, call upon Him. But it says we must mean it in our hearts. I remember when I got saved, I remember sitting in that back pew, Calvary Bible Church. And I remember thinking, you know, my life, I didn't have a wife then. I didn't need one then either. I ruined her. That jury's out on that too. But anyway, my life was an absolute train wreck. And I remember saying, Lord, I believe what that preacher's saying up there. And my life is an absolute mess. I'm going to give it to you. And I envisioned in my mind just sliding all my trash, so to speak, over to my Lord. And I gave it to Him. Now, He took my life, ladies and gentlemen. He took it. And God will take it if you'll give it to Him.
Amen.
And then He makes it what He wants to be, except for the bumps along the way that a thick head can't, hard-heartedness sometimes. But then we confess those sins, don't we? We get those things right and go on.
Yeah.
Have you done that? Have you given Him your life? Or did it fall in stony places? good seed of the Word of God. I remember about 10 years ago. No, it was longer than that now. It was a while ago. When I first got saved, there was a man in the church who would disciple us. All right, and his name was Dean Smith. Maybe some of you know him. I don't know, but he had the biggest, dirtiest, greasy hands you ever wanted to see. All right, he was an auto mechanic, and boy, he was good. You take your car around him, that guy could fix anything. But he'd sit in a Sunday school class, and he would pour his heart out onto us. Yes, an auto mechanic with big, greasy hands, just thrilled and passionate about the Word of God, and he taught us. There were 10 of us that came. Now there's about 3 of us left. Still following God. But I remember one boy, he came and he was concerned about the salvation of his parents and everything. But you know, what happened is his life started to change a little bit. And his mom and dad says, "What's going on with you?" His mom and dad weren't saved. "What's going on with you? Why are you going to church for all the time? What are you doing this?" He didn't like that. His friends would say, "Well, what's going on with you? What are you doing? You know, peer pressure. He didn't like that. All of a sudden, we started seeing less of him. Less and less. Before you know it, he's down at the hook. You might not know where the hook is, but it's in Spring Mills. It's a beer joint. Out at some nightclub someplace. Before you know it, he's in the gutter, man. Now, you can tell a lot about a person where he hangs out and who he hangs out with. You can. You say, "That's judgmental. You're legalistic." No, sir. No, sir. We're going to go with the book here. Peter got himself in trouble when he went with that crowd, didn't he? But he was with the Lord 3 years. What am I saying, though? I'm saying this. That this fellow just kind of slacked off. Why? Because the seed fell on stony places. Matthew 16:24. "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." When in Roman days, when a man would carry a cross out of the city, there's one thing you knew. This man wasn't coming back. He was going to die. Oh, dear friends, there's a glorious rest and peace in dying to ourselves. Amen. I'm crucified. I'm dead. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ, his will, his life, his personality lives in me. And the life by which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. By what? Feelings? By man's law? By what others think? No, the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. No, the fear of man bringeth a snare. We must do what God wants. Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than man." Number one, we saw the seed by the wayside. Number two, seed in stony places. Dear friend, could it be that you have a stony heart this morning? What's God speaking to you about? Number three, the seed among thorns. Verse 7 says, "And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them." Verse 22, the interpretation of that verse, here we go, from the Savior. "He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful." Notice the words, unfruitful. This is a person that hears the word of God and has the idea that worshiping, and perhaps goes along for a little bit, you know, and is excited about God's word. But as time goes on, has the idea that worshiping God and living for God is something done on the side. After everything else important is taken care of, you know. It is the man that owns a business that is more concerned about the welfare and reputation of the business than he is about the testimony of Christ and his life and community. More worried about making the money, buying the car. More concerned about those things. And many times that's why we send the women into the workplace. I know that ain't popular. I know that. But I also know that God needs the ladies at home to take care of the little ones. Because that's his will and that's his way. And if we don't go by his way, we're going to suffer consequences. And I love you this morning enough to tell you what God's book says there in Titus chapter 2. You, You see, folks, we're losing America because of this. You got to see it. Buy half the house and live in it. Do whatever it takes to have a heart after God's own heart. Yes, the seed among thorns, the cares of this world choke them out. It's a lady that finds her self-worth in all the things she does in a day or in a week, and rather than taking time into soak God's word and spending time in prayer. And I know I mentioned Facebook and all those things this morning. Listen, can those things be used for good? Yes, they can sometimes. But most of the time, folks, they're not. That's all. And we've got to know what is what and have God's discernment and God's mind on it. Amen? That's what we're talking about. You know? And again, busyness chokes the word of God in a life. If you are too busy to read the Bible, too busy to pray, too busy to come to church during church time, too busy to learn God's word, listen, you're too busy. God and the things of God, it's the main thing. Listen, God, that is Jesus Christ, will be no man's side business. He won't do it.
Right.
No, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Jeremiah 9 and verse 23, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this. That he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord. That he understandeth and knoweth me. Colossians 1 and verse 18, and he, that's Jesus Christ, is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things, not some things, all things. We butchered hogs here not too long ago. All right? About a couple weeks ago, and we butchered 7 pigs, and that's a lot of pigs to do if you ever did any butchering. And had a bunch of fellas there, and there was a fellow, there's some fellow there that at the butchering, that his main concern really wasn't butchering those hogs. He was there because he figured it'd be a good time and to at least live among men as a Christian. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Isn't that what a missionary is? Are we all missionaries? Yeah, even at a butchering. No matter what we're doing, it's a time to represent Jesus Christ. By how you live, by what you say. Why? Because he has the preeminence. A lot of old guys there, they wanted to season the sausage. You know what I'm talking about? That's what they're concerned, buddy. I want to season the sausage. I know how it should be. I'm going to put this much brown sugar in. I'm going to put this much pepper in it. There was a load of meat there. They were putting all that on. But the man that loves God says, I don't care. I just want him to get saved. Amen. Right? Colossians 3, verse 1 and 21. I'm sorry, Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, there it is. For your life is hid with Christ in God. Revelation 5 and verse 12, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power. No, worthy is, saying with a loud voice, worthy is, well, I forget that one. Revelation 12, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. That's what I want to get out. We were created for God's pleasure.
Amen.
Revelation 5, 12. In other words, he is the main thing. I know of a young woman, she grew up and going to church and everything, and she had heard God's truth and knew about it, and yet the main passion in her life was to be the popular girl at the local high school. All right? Ringing any bells? I don't know this morning. Boy, if it is, let God have his way now in your heart. All right? Let him have it. And yet her parents, and I blame the parents for these kind of things, helped her along with this ambition. Brought her the name brand clothes, made it a priority. We're going to get school clothes. All the name brand stuff, you know, and whatever trend's going on, that's what we're going to do. Bought her a brand new car, left her do what she wanted, dated this young man that was good at baseball playing. And this fella, boy, he was going to make the draft and all, and he did. He made the draft, I suppose. I guess he did, from what I understand. And all was going great, right? No, because the young lady graduated. The popularity really didn't matter much anymore. And the boyfriend moved on, and this young lady turned to drugs. Why? Because the cares and riches of this world had her mesmerized. She was fascinated with the world and what it had to offer. She was chasing after the wind. She was building a castle in the sand, and man, it crumbled, and her life was an absolute mess. Young person, what are you living for? Those of you there that want to be married someday, what kind of person are you going to marry? I can't stress that enough. Walk with God. Psalm 127:1, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. God's got to build the house. God has to build your relationships. This young lady didn't care less. She cared less about people getting saved. Care less about giving to missions, about worshiping, fellowshipping with God in a prayer closet. Hey, how about you this morning, young person? How about you? Are you allowing the cares of this world to choke out the good seed of the Word of God in your life? That was the seed among thorns. Number four, the seed among good ground. This is on fertile soil. Verse 8 here says about the seed on good ground. It'll bring forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. And then, of course, across the page here to verse number 23, it says, but he that received the seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word. Isn't that glorious? He hears it. That's first thing. He understandeth it. We've got to strive to understand it. We do. It's got to be of most utmost importance in our lives. Which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. This is the individual that hears God's word and understands it. And is determined in his or her heart and mind to live for God even if it kills them. I've decided to follow Jesus. Now what the song says, no turning back, no turning back. About 2 years before I was saved, that would be about 17 years ago now, before I trusted the Lord, I lifted weights at a friend's house for about a two-year span. And every time I'd get around his mother, she'd always say something to me about the Lord. She'd say, Ben, do you know the Lord? I said, well, I don't know. I'm Lutheran. I'm Lutheran. I didn't know what to say. I was so uncomfortable around that lady. She'd always say something about the Lord, and her hair was all falling out and shaven because she had cancer and she had 3 bouts with it. She knew what it was like to be on death's door. She knew about pain. She knew about suffering. She knew about all those things, and yet she's standing around telling me how good God was, and I couldn't understand it. I thought, and she'd always say, Ben, do you know the Lord? Of course, we'd go down to that weight room and that rock and roll music would just pound as we'd in that weight room. And I knew that woman had something I didn't have, nor did her son. All right? Just to be frank with you. But I'll tell you, Mrs. Dunkel loved God. And I'll tell you, as I look back over my life, she was one that lived the Word of God. Jesus Christ dwells in that woman's heart. She must be in her 70s now. She loved me enough to share it with me. Amen. And Mrs. Dunkel would share it with anybody. How about you? She didn't really care what anybody thought. Okay? There's a lady that anybody could have hurt her, beat her up, whatever. So weak, so frail. And yet bold as a lion.
Right.
The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. The word of God took root in her heart and her life. And now it brings forth fruit. I can think of about 5 people that have witnessed to me over my life that I really remember that God has just inched me closer to him. A little bit there. I even thought they were crazy. It's okay. I did. That guy's a religious fruitcake. Just being honest. But you know what it did? A little bit closer. A little bit closer. 5 in my life till I was 22.
Where are the rest? What if a whole church had that heart? What would God do with that? What did God do with one little boy's lunch? He fed 5,000. That was just the men. What's God speaking to your heart about this morning? Which individual suits your person and your life as the Word of God was preached this morning? Oh, folks. Bad things do happen. Hardships do happen with Mrs. Dunkel. Unfair circumstances. But Jesus promises to those that believe Him to never leave them or forsake them. Everyone in this auditorium will spend eternity somewhere. Either in the presence of God, be with Him, or in a place called hell. As Mrs. Dunkel asked me 12 years ago, she said, "Ben, do you know the Lord?" Same voice, inflection, everything. I can't forget it, out of my mind. I asked you this morning, do you know the Lord? Christians, are you taking time for God? Can you and your family, even your closest people in your life, can they say, yeah, my dad or my mom or my brother, my sister, their life's all about Jesus Christ. If you can't say that, dear friend, this morning in your own life, I'm going to say it as clear as I can. You're in sin and you're backslidden. Because God didn't want Christians to be that way. He bought us with a price. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 15, and that He, that's Jesus Christ, and that He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth, from here on out, live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. Let's go ahead and stand for prayer this morning.